And we'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for November 12, 2019. All rise for pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of
the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. I think everyone's here to be on the docket for the most part, so. Move on then from public hearing and then move on to the agenda review. Is there anything to add, change, or delete?
Nope, I got nothing.
Yes. We may want to change councilman reports. I don't think Councilman Trevis.
Is it an old one?
Any longer with us on the council?
Yeah.
And looks like we left off Eric.
Sorry, Eric.
Unless he's going by an alias, even by an alias. There's no other changes, then I would look for a motion to adopt the agenda as amended.
Move to adopt the agenda as amended.
Move seconded to approve the agenda as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Look for motion then to approve the consent agenda. Motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Chief?
Evening, council.
Evening.
Chief. Couple things on here tonight. First off, we got quotes back. You know, we're looking to replace our outbolts. Actually, I have a second one, but also the other one stopped working. It's 13 years old, and so we've been looking to either add another outbolt or change over to a different device. I think you guys all have copies. I can be careful of the two quotes that we got from the two manufacturers. Stryker makes a Lucas device, and makes the outbolts. We currently have an outbolt. So. And if you notice, they're really, really close on the quotes. Stryker's $14,102, and so it's $14,700. So it was $100 to be covered. The Stryker rep was out on training night last month, I think it was. Demonstrated the device. I answered questions. The Zoll rep is coming out a week from tonight. To demonstrate the outpulse and the version of the outpulse. So, the fire department has asked me to hold off on really making a decision on which one they're going to hold off on making a decision on which one they want to go with until they've had a chance to meet the Zoll rep as well. The reason I'm here tonight is to see if I can seek approval from you guys to purchase the one with the fire department, kind of the size of one. After meeting with the guy next Tuesday at our business meeting. So, we're kind of getting up against the end of the year fiscally. We're going to be much longer than the last meeting I want. Done money's in the account for the purchase money. So, this is kind of why I'm hoping to get approval from you guys. So, I'm glad I can find one of the fire department chooses.
Council, any questions, any thoughts?
No.
Not talking big dollars between the two different quotes.
Yeah, you guys best make, you guys are the best man to make that call, so yeah.
All right. I'm going to move forward with purchasing one of these two devices based upon the fire department. It's the best interest of you guys to go with your advice. So, you're in the right with them.
Okay.
Cool. Next thing on there, we got our grant information back. It's a matching grant from the DNR for $2,500. So for a total of $5,000, we need to come up with $2,500 for our portion of it. For radios and pagers is what we're going for. So Stephen Seward got a quote for pagers. I believe for six or seven, something there around there. Ends up being right at the $5,000 mark. So we're going to move forward with ordering and doing the papers, so keep you guys in mind. The other thing that I would like to talk to you guys about is every year we do certification, every other year we do full testing on our SCBA packs. One thing that we've been doing as a fire department on our own has been post testing, and we've been doing that for years. My thought and feeling of post testing is that falls in line with pump certification and SCBA full testing. It's something that really a professional group should be doing and should be left up to them. So we've been looking at a few companies, but one of them is called FireCat, and FireCat does Mayor, they do it for Morgan, they do a few other fire departments around. What they'll come up with is take all of our holes, lay it out, they'll do all the testing for us, they barcode them all, they track each chunk of holes, they send us a report of what it tested to pressure-wise, what failed, what didn't fail. It's a much easier setup for us than spending one or two nights of training, hooking holes up to our engine and pressurizing it off our own engine. It's also kind of hard on the engines, so they're monthly, so we have 300 PSI on it for small diameter. I would like to move forward with next year's budget and having a line item. I've talked to Jeremy about it, about contracting with FireCat to do our base testing and kind of move some of that liability up to another company to take care of that for us. I'm not 100% sure we're doing it completely right. You know, that's part of it. Well, we're putting it up to 300 PSI. It's got a hole for 3 minutes. It's run off the engine. They have a special trailer with equipment that does it digitally. It does it, you know, specifically to the chunks. It's a much more accurate, better way to do it. They charge, if we do a 3-year contract, 32 cents a foot. That's how they charge to rebuild the whole system. So it doesn't matter the diameter of the hole, so go all the way up to 6 inches. And so our largest diameter is 5, so it would cover all those we have. That works out to, for each hand line, 3-inch and 3/4 holes we have, it's $16. Same thing for 2.5, and for LDH, our large diameter holes, it's $32. So what we were looking at is how much holes we have on the trucks, how much we have spare on the rack, and so on and so forth. We're probably going to be in the neighborhood of about $2,000 a year to get into our holes. So I guess I'm asking for approval to move forward with letting the FireCat or working a contract out with FireCat and do our holes.
You just ask once a year.
It's once a year. They are actually out of a place in Michigan. But what they do is they go around regionally. So whenever they come to town and do like Norwood and some of these other places that are close by, this one too. So there's not a separate fee for that travel. They're just in the area. We could do a year-to-year thing. It's 35 cents a foot. With that, I would think doing 32 cents a foot. For the contract over a 3-year period with our beneficial agreement with us. But like I said, I'd like to move the liability a little bit off the fire department as well. Truthfully, we're not recreating record keeping with that. We don't have our hose individually numbered or categorized. And, we've just all done fine. That's probably the same thing with us. So, we had a night or two of training, we went through all the holes. Guys tend not to show up for that one. It's kind of laborious and real fun night, and it's usually in September, October, and it's a little chillier. Things are busy. But I'd rather have those 2 nights as training nights. So they're messing around with those. And I really don't care to have our trucks sitting there holding the pressure. We have monies in next year's budget, and I will include it for what we signed already. So, it's like the council would be in favor of it.
Once I get the information and get it to Jeremy, when we do our second meeting, go over the budget, we can discuss it. Maybe put it in as long as it makes sense.
Yep, it makes sense. We'd like to move forward with something.
so, and you can put testing on someone other than themselves.
Yeah, third party.
Other note Jeremy brought up to me real quick before the meeting is, we've done those donations, old turnout gear, so any gear over 10 years of age, for OSHA, not to be able, not all to be less, it's active gear. In fact, we can't even really have any mall, OSHA will have to think like that.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of the things, we did a mock OSHA inspection. That was one of the things, they kind of flagged for us.
So, all of that gear has been donated to the Department of Public Safety, thank you to Casey Stotts there. They have a program where they collect that gear together and actually ship it over to like third world countries where people are gonna be able to utilize it. Our gear, we don't get a lot of calls, it looked just fine, but it's over 10 years old. And therefore, we can't give less of it, and we really don't have a spot to store it, so that got turned over. Those SCBA bottles we replaced them last year, they are in that same category, they're 15 years old, we're gonna use them. Choices were drill holes in them, destroy them, and throw them out, or ship them off, well, we don't make all those as well. Any questions? So, applications for officer positions were open, and this year around it is Chief 2, Captain 1, and Secretary. And we have an application for each of those positions. Current Assistant Chief Stephen Seward turned in his application again for Chief 2. There. Anthony, who's here with us this evening, turned in his for Captain 1, the only application for that position, and Nick McIntyre turned in an application for our Secretary position. I guess we're probably not going to need the selection committee this year, one application per spot, but I don't know, maybe approval to accept applications to the board.
Yeah.
These choices are more than acceptable to me, so.
You have a document for the selection board, or did that come in that done here?
I think we just do it with council because ultimately it's the ultimate authority unless you see any reason to have the board meet.
I think the board's just there to whittle it down, so.
Yeah. I think that's the only time that we do use the board is when there is more than one app.
So we have, who is it, Cap 1 is who?
Cap 1 is Anthony Van Hupter.
I got it.
Alright, so then I guess just look for a motion to approve those that applied, Captain 1, Anthony Hampton, Captain 2, Stephen Seward, Chief 2, sorry, didn't mean to demote him so quickly, Secretary McIntyre.
I make a motion to approve Chief 2 as Stephen Seward, Captain 1 as Anthony Hampton, and Secretary McIntyre.
Second.
Seconded. To approve Cap 2 as Stephen Seward, Cap 1, or Chief 2 as, can't do it again. Chief 2 as Stephen Seward, Cap 1 as Anthony Van Hampton, Secretary as Nick McIntoon, all in favor?
Alright.
Opposed?
Alright.
New group for next year.
Very good. Any other questions from the council? Anything that's going on?
No.
Yeah,
so. Nothing I can think of.
Alright.
Just gonna knock down our new water tower when it goes up.
Try not to. Stay away from it.
Anthony out of the rigs.
Great. Thank you, council.
Yep.
Thank you.
Chris, you wanna come up front? Move on to old business, Oilers and the refinancing of the bucks and bonds.
So Jeremy, I wasn't sure if it was a question or a piece of work.
No, not yet.
I'll pass this around here. So thank you, Mayor and Council. Again, my name is Chris Nicholson, Fellows and Associates. We are the city's municipal advisory firm. We help the city access the bond market to finance capital projects, or in this case, to refinance existing debt of the city. Shelley Eldridge is the city's primary advisor, although she's in sunny Las Vegas this week, and so I'm happy to come in here in her place. In front of you is our pre-sale report for a proposed refinancing, what we're calling the Series 2019A General Obligation Public Utility Revenue Refunding Bonds. The par amount for this would be $795,000. And so I've highlighted a handful of the key points that are in this report, and then any questions that you guys have, I'm certainly happy to yield to those. And so if you flip to the first page of this report here, you can see again the proposed issue, $795,000 GO Public Utility Revenue Refunding Bonds, Series 2019A. This would be, these bonds would be issued to refinance the city's existing Series 2011A bonds. Those bonds were issued to finance water and storm sewer projects back in 2011. The replacement of selected sanitary sewer and water lines upgraded a portion of the city's storm sewer system, construction of two ponds, including land purchase costs. So the authority that was used to issue those existing bonds were Chapter 475, that's the general bonding authority here in the state of Minnesota, and then also Chapter 444. And that is the statutory authority that allows the city to issue these bonds without them being applied to the 3% net debt limit and without any sort of referendum requirement, so long as net utility revenues are being used to service the debt. And so that was done back in 2011, the existing issue that would be done here in 2019 for this refinancing issue. This new issue, the 2019 issue, would be done over a 12-year term, so this would just be for an interest cost savings. It would not be done for any sort of restructuring or that sort of thing. And the call date on this new issue would be February 1st, 2029, or any date thereafter. So that February 1st, 2030 maturity and the Q following there would be subject to early redemption. By issuing this new bond issue in a lower interest rate environment and taking out that 2011 bond issue, you can see there in that purpose section that the expected interest cost savings, or the estimated interest cost savings, would be approximately $38,000 over the next 12 years. And so that really is the why of, why would it be worth considering going forward with this refunding bond issue. And that would be that, for the next 12 years, the savings would be an estimated $3,000 or so each year for the life of this issue. And so while the dollar amount isn't overly large, the percentage at what we're estimating at right now, 4.4% savings, anything really over 3% savings is something that's really worth doing. It's really worth considering. And so getting into that 4.5% range really makes this worth considering pulling the trigger on. I will also say that as the city pays more principal payments on this existing 2011A issue, that refunding opportunity basically diminishes. So you're now comparing it against less and less principal. And so over time, this refunding opportunity kind of goes away. And then finally, the interest rate environment that we find ourselves in today is about as low as we've been in. And so not knowing what rates will do even in the next 6 months, but especially in the next few years,
experts' best guess is it's got to rise at some point, and if that were to happen, then the refunding opportunity, you know, again, diminishes. So those are some of the factors that are kind of working against the city in terms of delaying this beyond really when this 2011A issue becomes callable here on 2/1/2020. Something that would be kind of unique about this bond issue, given the smaller par amount that, you know, just under $800,000 par amount, we would recommend not raising this bond issue. So as an issue gets to, you know, a little over a million, and then certainly beyond that, it's economically beneficial to get a rating from whether it be Standard & Poor's or Moody's or Fitch. And they attach a letter grade to the issue that basically says, you know, this is the likelihood that investors will be paid back, you know, on time and in full. For a smaller issue like this, the $10,000 to $12,000 that the city would pay the rating agency, that wouldn't be realized in savings of interest cost that, you know, would be reduced by attaching a rating to it. And so we would not recommend, you know, going through the time as well as, you know, paying the expense to that rating agency to obtain a rating for this refunding issue. The basis of recommendation, this is the way that historically the city has financed, or in this case refinanced, projects, this competitive sale process. This is the best practice approach as recommended by the Governmental Finance Officers Association. And by attaching the general obligation pledge, that is the full faith and credit pledge of the city to take on, or in this case to refinance, water, storm, utility projects, that is the way that the lowest possible borrowing cost is obtained. If this was just a pure revenue bond issue as opposed to a general obligation revenue bond issue, then the rates would be, you know, significantly higher, and then, you know, the refunding wouldn't be viable in that case. A couple more things to touch on. The schedule, the draft proposed schedule, is included here on page 5. You can see there that the pre-sale review by you all that's taking place this evening, November 12th. The distribution of the official statement, that's the offering document that the investment banks would be reviewing as they're considering whether or not to, you know, make a competitive bid on the bonds. That will take place, distribution of that document, the week of November 25th. And then we would expect this sale to occur, and then whether it's myself or Shelley to come back before you all with sale results for that city council meeting on December 10th. So the sale would occur that morning, maybe around 10 or so that morning. We would open bids, determine who the low bid is, and finally lock in really, you know, what your final exact interest cost savings are, and present those results to you all that evening, December 10th. That would be then your decision to either award that sale result and you know, take those savings, or to say, you know, which kind of depending upon the result, but if it was a good result, then it wouldn't be likely that you do this, but you still have the flexibility to do this. You could reject all bids and say, you know, we'd rather not do this refinancing at this point. It's, you know, the option that council has. And then the closing date, the date that the city would receive proceeds, that would be, we're estimating December 30th. The city would make the regular final debt service payment on the 2011A bonds on February 1st, 2020. And then on that same date, that is when the additional maturities, the 2021 and beyond maturities, are callable. That's when the proceeds of the new issue would, you know, quote unquote, take out those 2011A bonds. And then the attachments to this report, the sources and uses of funds. So that shows the, on the sources side, that's just the one line par amount of this issue, that's $795,000 amount. On the uses of funds, most importantly, that third line, deposit to the current refunding fund, $760,000 is the amount needed to call out the 2021 and all other remaining maturities. And then cost of issuance, that's a combination of our fee as well as the bond attorney's fee, Briggs & Morgan's fee. Underwriter's discount is what we would expect the investment bank, whoever that may be, that submits the competitive bid and ultimately wins this, issued a fee to pay the charge for making this market for taking part in this transaction. And then that little $75 rounding amount is just a function of municipal bonds being sold in $5,000 blocks. So you have to round. It's that's always in anywhere from $0 to $5,000. And frankly, I've never really seen it as low as $75. But that's just a function of muni bonds being sold in $5,000 blocks. The next page is the estimated debt service schedule. So you can see there, those are the what we would estimate to be the maturities. And again, you can see it's not being extended or reduced relative to the existing 2011A bonds. Really, just most importantly, the couponing, you know, we're estimating that to be less. And so that would lead to the interest cost savings. And that is what's shown on that next page, the debt service comparison. So you can see there the total P&I of this debt service comparison page, that $928,747, that ties to the $928,477 on the previous page. And then there's the new debt service is just minus that $75 rounding. So that's really just basically the same amount minus $75. And then the old net debt service is the existing 2011A bonds. And then finally the savings on the far right column there. That is what we would expect. An estimate. We don't know ultimately what the low bid would be, but somewhere in that ballpark is what we would expect the city to realize for savings for, you know, going through this refunding. I'll also point out too that this assumes current market rates plus an additional 15 basis points or 0.15%, just because we don't know exactly what the market is going to do between now and that sale date in a month from now. And so in the event that if the market were to stay constant or would stay flat between now and the sale a month from now, then the savings would be even a few thousand dollars better than what we're showing here. But to try to be on the conservative side and not knowing what the market's going to do, we put a little bit of padding or cushion in there, just in case the market were to move up, you know, or fugue away from the city's interests between now and one quarter. And then maybe just one last thing to touch on. There's a rate graph here on the last pages, and that shows really that this just looks at the last 2 years of trends in the municipal bond market. And this shows that really now is one of the more, if not the most favorable times to be accessing the bond market to do a refinancing, which is why this is really viable in the first place. And if you look at a 10-year chart and a 20-year chart and so on, you would see that as the further out you go, the higher up the interest rates are. And so this really is, you know, in my entire lifetime, this is the most favorable time really to be accessing the bond market. Just today I did a sale for the city of Eden Prairie. That was a 20-year deal. They're, you know, obviously very strong rated AAA credit, but we got like 2.16% interest rate on 20 years. And so to think that investors are willing to give up $5 million for 2.16% on 20 years is really, it's really incredible for issuers to be able to access that kind of capital at that type of, you know, low expense. The last thing that's attached here is just the resolution that will set this sale a month from now. And again, this would authorize us to work with you to put this in place and then come back in a month from now with results. And those results are not final until you all say, yes, we want to go through this refinancing, or if the sale results are disappointing, or if some sort of shock happens in the capital markets and bond rates absolutely spike and there's no savings, then it'd be very easy for you guys to say we're not doing any of it, and then you don't incur our cost, you don't incur Freddie Morgan's cost, you're out nothing. So I think that's that was a lot. That was quick. That was everything that I wanted to touch on. If there's anything that, you know, what I said that prompted questions that you have, or if you quick review this, if there's anything that jumped out, I'm happy to, you know, answer any questions you guys may have.
Council, any questions?
Staff?
Pretty straightforward to me.
Looks a little better than what was even originally proposed last month, so.
Yeah, sounds like you have nothing to lose.
Continue that trend.
Mm-hmm.
Motion to approve this resolution.
Mm-hmm. I guess if no other questions for Chris and Matt, then council's in agreement, so I'll look for a motion for resolution 2019-11 for resolution providing the state of sale of $785,000 GO public utility revenue refunding bonds, series 219A.
I make a motion to approve Ehlers moving forward in refinancing our bonds to series 2019A.
Moved and seconded to approve Ehlers to move ahead with the 2019A series bonds. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have at it.
Thank you guys for your time. And Jeremy,
thanks, Chris. Yep, sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Move on then to the city water tower schedule.
All right, so just give you a brief update. So right now you're not seeing nothing going up, but by the end of this week, hopefully it'll be fully erected. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now, is that the 14th they'll be bringing in their bigger crane. I know they had problems today of their current crane gelling up a little bit. Thursday, the plan is to bring in the big crane and start erecting and having the tank up. Okay. So you'll start to see it.
Yeah.
It won't be the prettiest thing because it won't get painted till, you know, next spring. So really we'll be pretty much at a standstill till spring. So they still kind of hoping to finish up here right before Thanksgiving. They can get it finished and out of here. They'll lock it up, give us a key, and then they'll just leave everything till it gets painted. Because I asked, well, will they do any other work, you know, in the meantime? And they said, nope, they don't want nothing done till the painters get in there. Because if you can imagine, if you're a painter and they ran all the electrical and everything, it'd be a nightmare trying to paint that. So so nothing will take place then till spring. So just kind of sit there till spring.
Cool. Any questions, Tom?
Good thing we left a tree stand.
Yeah, so it'll be a little bit of an eyesore for a few months, but
I'm sorry.
The pretty snow will make it look nice.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a name for that. What is it called? I can't think of it right now, but it is kind of in. But so the other thing with that, here we are again, another resolution. So basically what we're looking to approve, resolution 2019-10, basically that's accepting the offer from PFA for the loan amount of $1,382,000 for the general obligation taxable water revenue note of 2019. And then along with that, what we're looking for is a motion to approve the post-issuant compliance procedures and policies. So this is a new thing since the last time we've issued bonds. So kind of the main thing is so we stay in compliant and keep our tax exempt status. That's the whole thing of this post-issuance compliance procedures and policy. So I actually needed this policy for what we're discussing now and what we were discussing prior for the refinancing of the other bonds. So that's all I have on the water tower. So on that, just looking for a motion, I guess, first to approve resolution 2019-10.
I move to approve resolution 2019-10 for the PFA loan of $1,382,700.
Second. Moved and seconded.
Actually, that should be 70, I think. I put 700. Yeah, it's 70.
I'd like to amend your motion.
Yeah, I'll amend my motion for the amount of $1,382,070.
You accept that?
Yes.
Moved and seconded to approve resolution 2019-10, Minnesota PFA loan for $1,382,070. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Jason?
Yeah. And then I'll look for a motion then to approve the post issuance compliance procedures and policy.
I'll make a motion to approve post issuance compliance procedures and policies.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the post issuance compliance procedures and policies. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Move on to new business. Everybody, we had a chance to look at the new numbers for 2 years with the contracting with Will Miller and Sons for snow plowing.
Yeah, so basically with that, Brad had come to me and asked to if we wanted to do a two-year, lock in 2 year. So basically what we went from is the blading and sand truck, 150 an hour. Previously it was 140. The only other difference was truck and sander and trucks to haul out snow went from $90 to $100 an hour. The salt sand and straight salt mix stayed the same.
Any questions? Any thoughts? Otherwise, I look for a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the 2 year contract with Willie Miller and Sons for our smoke alarm.
Moved and seconded to approve the bid from Will Miller's and Sons for 2 years of with the snowplowing. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Next item on the docket is the policing contract for 2020 to 2021.
So here again, staying with the 2 year theme. So basically, our cost for 2020 would be $17,573. And then our cost for 2021 would be $18,203.
Anybody have any questions? I think a lot changed in there.
Okay. Two.
There's no questions or additional thoughts. If we don't want to create our own police force, I look for a motion to accept the policing contract with Carver County.
I move to accept the policing contract for Carver County for 2020 and 2021.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the policing contract with Carver County for 2020 and 2021. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. 2019-2020 budget items.
All right, so for 2019, we finished up the re-roofing of the park bathrooms. So that's done. The other thing is all phones now have been upgraded and changed over to Jaguar. So we should see somewhat of a savings there. Also, Greg will have high speed internet now versus what he had down there with CenturyLink. So that's the whole hall now is connected with Wi-Fi. So even upstairs, there's a private public Wi-Fi up there that people can get onto. So we do have that service for the hall and here. So both our rentals, you know, have access to the Wi-Fi. We don't guarantee the speeds or the number of people that can get on it, but we'll see how that trial goes as as we move through with our rentals, if I get any feedback. Other than that, only other thing, like I said, it's that time of year, kind of start wrapping up budget. So if you have 2020 items, keep them in mind. And then just kind of jumping into that, typically then the next kind of items, we just fall into, usually hold a second meeting, basically for any last minute things that would come up, mainly for the budget. And then we'd hold one more special workshop meeting on the 3rd, and then we would, you know, approve it on the 10th of December, which then at that time we'd also allow the public comment. So that's kind of that. So kind of the next meeting really will be, mainly will be employee reviews, health insurance coverage, those, that fun time of the year. And then also then we can get into the budget talks too with that. So then the next thing is, I don't know what council's schedules are, if that works, but basically what I'd be looking is to hold a second city council meeting then on November 26th.
Council, any thoughts? Otherwise, a motion to hold a second council meeting?
I move to hold a second council meeting on November 26th.
Second.
Move segment to hold the second council meeting November 26th, 2019. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
So then I'll just kind of keep the next line item on the agenda for special meetings. We'll see if the 3rd works for everybody to kind of hold. That'll just be a budget workshop. So it'll be strictly for the budget. So I'll just keep that on there for next agenda. And then kind of the final thing I have on that would be basically then set a public hearing to adopt city fee schedule for 2020. And basically we can just hold that at 7 o'clock on December 10th. And that, just to back up, that city fee schedule I'll have in with the budget, so.
Promotion for that public hearing?
Make a motion to set a public hearing for the city fee schedule for 2020 on December 10th.
Second.
And seconded to set a public hearing to adopt the city fee schedule for 2020, December 10th. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. We will then move on to city council reports. We'll start off with Councilman Buckingham.
Nope.
Nothing, huh? Okay. Councilman Tracy.
Nothing.
Councilman Feltman.
I don't know if you heard, but me and Jeremy have been talking a little bit about Wood Greg getting possibly looking into getting a tool can instead of, which I think would be, after thinking it through, you got your industrial strength machine there that can do a lot more than what you're showing or cyclists and whatever you need. So, yeah. So I know they're very expensive, but I think it's something that would make Greg very happy. It's a thing that I know he could use very good, and it's also something our Bobcats going on 3 years, which I know is nothing for Bobcats, the way Greg takes care of this stuff. But I think we could get rid of that and replace it with a tool can, because I think the tool can will do everything for Bobcat. We'll do it more. So I don't know. Jeremy, where you are, and you talked to Greg, and has he gone to Lana's? I told him.
Yeah,
I was concerned.
He hasn't looked at the tool cats yet, I don't believe. I mean, he looked at the, you know, the side by side concept. I did talk to him about the tool cat versus Bobcat. His only fear is with the Bobcat, it can get up higher with the bucket for snow and for loading the compost. So that was kind of the comments Greg made.
But the other thing is too, only Bobcats just on the street that we could use if we need it.
So, I mean, and I know these, yeah, you know, the tool cats are a little more spendy. They're about 60 grand new.
Yeah. But I'm thinking, doing some snooping around. I think we can get somewhere between 22 to 27,000 for trading for Bobcat. And if we budgeted 15,000 for, like a say, Flares Ranger or something. And I don't think we get it for 15. I think that's what we've got about maybe budgeting. We're looking more probably at 2023. We're not that far off in the tool can.
Is it too risky to look into something used in the tool cat line?
Well,
beside the other one?
Thought we had the deal of the century, but yeah, that turned into be, I think, from Nigeria, so. Lucky we're not gullible, but when we got the emails, I think y'all got them.
Right away we were like, red flag.
eBay Motors.
There is eBay Motors, but they don't have no warehouses. Yeah, it just was fishy.
But I mean, it's just something I think you guys just think about before we do the next budget. Should we tell Greg to start maybe email scooping around? He's got some time, go out and get some prices, see what our Bobcat would be worth trade-in, so we know about it.
You know a lot better that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking that would be.
I think it is a better fit. It's more work than play. Where a Ranger's kind of the other way around, it's probably a little more play than work.
Well, you know, for like a plow or even a broom, I mean, man, I've seen them guys like in Laconia and stuff, they go flying down them trails with their brooms, and there's 3-4 inches of snow in there, and it's gone. It's like, save Greg a lot of time. Something that I'm sure you run short of every once in a while.
Yeah, I think something worth looking into.
Yeah, no, you'll learn and checking out some prices. And
that's basically all I have. I think that would be something, if you guys are all in agreement with, that we should maybe look into it anyway and see where it goes.
Okay, that's all good point.
I know when he was looking at the side by sides, he said that John Deere, the Gator, actually had a government logo. That was actually cheaper than what the, but he didn't like the Gator. Side by sides. Then I said to him, well, I got a different idea. What about a tool cap? His face just lit up like a kid in a candy store. Are you serious? I said, yeah, I think that you should look into something. Man, he said, that would help me out considerably. And I said, well, I can see where it would, because they're so useful.
Yeah, they're nifty machines.
That's all I had.
Conks in the middle of the top. I just have a couple of things. I know you probably have it all in front of you. There's that Minnesota Metro thing. It's going to be on Thursday. I think you can still sign up for it. Might be a little late, but I won't. I have a conflict, so I'm able to go with it. It's good information in that. Also, December 13th, there will be a meeting at Chaska City Hall with the Southwest Corridor Transit Coalition Group in the morning from 7:30 to 9:00. They'll be updating stuff on 212 and just where they are with other grants and stuff like that. So might be something worth checking out.
Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. Start the long weekend out, 7:30 in the morning, the government meeting. That's all I have. So if no one's got anything else for the good of the city, I look for a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Moving second to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting November 12th, 2019 at 7:49. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.